data is something that you will always find in an unstructured format or sometimes also in a structured one. And since data is going to be your grounding when you are going to develop this model, so you really need to identify what is a good data, what is a bad data.
Hey, smart biotech scientists, welcome to another episode on the Smart Biotech Podcast. Have you ever wondered how you could leverage these amazing new trends in digital transformation? If you have, then this episode is for you, because I'm thrilled to announce that I'm having a conversation with Abhijit Satvikar. He's an innovation manager at Merck Guidonia in Rome, and he leads the analytical innovation and digitalization within the Department of Analytical Excellence and Program Management. And we're going to talk about how digital transformation can change your bioprocessing game. And then in the second part of our conversation, we're going to zoom into the use of PAT, so process analytical technology. So stay tuned for this amazing conversation. Are you juggling the complexities of CMC development while trying to enjoy the beauty of biotech? Have you ever wondered if there's a way to simplify bioprocessing? Welcome to the Smart Biotech Scientist Podcast, where we're diving headfirst into the very challenges you face. We're breaking it down, demystifying the jargon, and giving you the keys to unlock your full potential. I'm your host, David Brohlman, and I get it. With 15 plus years in the biotech industry, I face the same challenges you do. There's a way to simplify and streamline so you can remove complexity, you can skip trials and errors, deliver without delay your groundbreaking therapy to clinics at market, and still enjoy every single step. Do you want to learn how industry experts and I did it? Grab a cup of coffee and your favorite notebook and pen. Now is the time to take your bioprocessing game to the next level. Let's smarten up biotech. Hey, Abhijit, it's so great to have you on the show today.
Thanks a lot, David. I'm really looking forward to have this conversation with you. Thanks for having me too.
It's a pleasure. Abhijit, share something that most people don't know about you.
Right. So you and me means we have always been working in the labs together, right? So that's an impression you have always about me. But let's say outside of the lab means I am a person who is also quite curious about things around me. And that also pushes me to learn different things. So when I'm not working in the lab, so that is where means I try to understand what we can do on the sustainability cause. We hear a lot about climate change and so on. And that's where means I am also trying to learn a bit on what we could do to improve our climate where we live in, and also on the contribution, what we can individually do. So that's just one example. But then again, means I'm interested in various topics. So how technology is shaping people in moving forward, and what additional skills people they really need to bring in adapting to this big change that is happening around.
Fantastic. So now let's focus on the biotech. How did you get started in biotech, and how did you arrive where you are right now?
Right. So actually, when I was in my high school and schooling, so I was pretty fascinated with science, with experimentation, with reason, logic, and so on. And moving further means I got an admission to an undergraduate degree in microbiology. And that's where means it really stuck me, because I got an exposure to this unknown world of microbes that you could really see from a microscope, which, you know, it was just an imagination, right? When you hear about bacteria, viruses, and so on. And that's where, means when I was exposed to these techniques and so on, means I really got into that, became curious to learn more. And then this created a strong drive for me to engage into applied utilities coming from the microbial world and so on. And then at that point, means I did my degree in India. So this biotechnology was an emerging field, or let's say the subject that came across. So I made a determination that I should be following on this course in order to explore other possibilities that biotech has to offer. And then towards my journey, means I completed my master's degree in biotechnology, then driven, let's say, again by curiosity, I moved to Italy, where I did my PhD in biotechnology. And after that, means I started my industrial journey, working in upstream processes, then shifting also for a while in downstream processes. And that's where means I got an opportunity to move into in-process analytics, where I supported the process with the analytical techniques and assays that are really needed to take some decisions. And since last 10 years, means I have started to work with Merck. Means I entered Merck for working with the analytical group here, which was basically responsible for developing the state-of-art techniques in characterization and also supporting the QC testing and so on. So that was, let's say, more or less as a summary of my journey in the biotech world as such. No?
So we have had several opportunities to collaborate, and it's been an amazing experience, Abhijit. So I'm now curious, because most of the projects we worked on were focused on process development, like in the large sense of the word, let's say like that. I'm curious, what are the key challenges that biotech scientists often face in bioprocess development and manufacturing of biologic?
Yes, and David, means we really had great collaborations, right? So I came from the analytical side and you were really the process guy from upstream. Those are really memories, right? How we went across, pitched for those projects and driven those innovations. Now, talking a bit more specific on this process development as such, right? So, you know, this field has evolved a lot. Traditionally means we were used to do a classical process development with DOEs and so on. And now data has really come in, where techniques such as predictive process models, means that has come across, the statistical process control and so on. You have heard all of these buzzwords that has come across. And, you know, the key areas where people are really focused on process development is on the process design, that how you are going to design your process from your small scale studies, then scaling it up to your large scale manufacturing. And during this transition or during this journey from small scale to large scale, how you are also going to maintain the product quality as per, you know, the critical quality attributes of your product. So, you know, those are the few key areas where people are really working around and having this process optimized, scalable, delivering consistent product quality. Means those are the areas where people are, I would say, a bit more focused and want to deliver a process that is more robust towards producing a product that is safe and effective for the patients in general.
Yeah, we're going to focus a bit later in our conversation on the analytical part. So now let's focus on the other thing you have on your plate, which is the digital transformation. How will these trends and emerging technologies change the way we produce biologics?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I'm sure that many people will not know the answer around this stack, because this digital transformation is really moving at a very rapid pace. We have seen the impact what ChatGPT has brought in. So it has really opened immense possibilities for everyone. More on that, the technology is getting accessible to the people, where people are using it more to improve and to use it more for the efficiency related tasks. Talking a bit specifically on the bioprocess in general, and let's say on a larger scale, the entire biomanufacturing. So digital technologies will have an impact at every stage of this bioprocess industry, starting from your unit operations, that is upstream, downstream, fill and finish, as well as your final product. You may have also heard about this thing about the digital twin. So how we are going to virtually represent your process there, conduct simulations, improve and optimize your processes in order to decrease your cost of goods. So the cost of good modeling is where people would plan to go for. Then the scheduling and the planning of your batches. So in alignment to the market demands, in alignment to the sales. So that's really something what business analytics or business intelligence type of tools are going to help around. And then towards this end, so the process analytical technologies, which is the core area where I am working, that is also going to bring a lot of efficiency in driving the whole bioprocess development. Then there is the whole thing about the data management across this biomanufacturing things, how efficiently you are managing the data, and then how you are also going to use your past data to improve your future process performances. So these are a lot of possibilities that digital transformation has to offer. And I guess means many industries are really moving in these directions to choose the right POCs where they could conduct it and then bring it into adoptions into their practices.
And in your perspective, what will be the percentage of still doing experiments like in a wet lab versus in silico, or just using, let's say, bluntly ChatGPT for biologics or something like that?
Right. No, that's a great question. Yes, technology has a lot to offer, but there is still some considerations that we have to think from the regulatory point of view. And as you know, healthcare is a very highly regulated industry. So we always need documentation, documentation, documentation. And I think to arrive at a level of confidence where we could just use technology and, let's say, having confidence in the validation of that predictions means I think there's still a long journey to go in this direction. I would still see it becoming more as a hybrid model where you would have insights from your digital technologies, digital tech, but still means you will need to have this occasional frequency of your PAT technologies, like the process analytical technologies, to at least validate that steps and then give a confirmation that it is moving in the right direction. It is not impacted by some uncertainty which your training data didn't have. So that's the key thing. Because when we will construct those initial models, you may have the availability of, let's say, lesser data. And what will happen in the future once the process is being used for its manufacturing means there is this uncertainty that you still need to keep a check around with the real analytics, I would say.
Now, new technologies are great and we have a lot of new opportunities. We can do a lot of fancy things, but this discussion would be complete if we didn't talk about the challenges. What are the challenges with these new trends and how do you advise us as scientists to overcome them? Like, can you share your experience?
First of all, the new technologies are relatively new and there is an uncertainty associated with that. And because of this uncertainty, so industries or manufacturers, means they are not sure means how to pitch this to the regulators and get the confidence. And that's the friction point between establishing these new technologies to be confident and to be fit for the purpose of this intended use. So you may have heard that regulators are also moving in the direction where they are going to provide guidelines on how do we establish these digital novel technologies. So there is a great drive going with EMA, US, as well as other regulators from different countries who are also trying to learn, I would say, at this stage on what these technologies are going to offer and move ahead. Now, linking to this step of the uncertainty that the technology has. So when we start with an innovation project, that's also a challenge in order to communicate to the stakeholders the value coming from those technology. Of course, we can create business cases that can be based on assumptions and so on. But let's say the smartness here is to choose those assumptions which you could use to tangibly demonstrate the value and get the buy-ins from the relevant stakeholders. So in order to go step by step and keep minimizing the risks that are, or let's say open questions that are posed on this technology. That would be a sort of a middle ground how we would approach. And then another key thing, what I personally feel that is going around, that we have many technologies. We have too many technologies. When you have so many things to choose from, means it also becomes difficult for you to which direction you have to go. And currently, people should really focus on what is tangible and what can really be adopted to bring an impact in this healthcare industry. And that's, I would say, a focused approach needs to be taken to make this as a viable thing now.
What I'm hearing, Abhijit, is that there is a lot of distraction out there and we as scientists should be mindful about it and we should focus on the essentials. And what I'm also hearing is that less is more, right?
Right, exactly. And then when you say essential, means that also connects to the point of sustainability. So you should use the role of technology in a way that you don't overkill things. For example, means if in your business process, AI can be an overkill thing there. Maybe you can still use statistical approaches or some traditional rule-based type of an automation there to solve certain needs. So businesses should really choose the technology which is providing the right return of investment as per the need of the business. So instead of going overkill or half-kill, means it has to be precise for its task to be performed.
And besides the overkill, what other pitfalls should we watch out for?
So basically on the data is really the next oil, what many people have highlighted there. Data is something that you will always find in an unstructured format or sometimes also in a structured one. And since data is going to be your grounding when you are going to develop this model, so you really need to identify what is a good data, what is a bad data, and then use them accordingly. That is also a mindset that you really need to create on analyzing data as such. I would say listening to the data, because data is telling you a lot of things. And we should invest more time in first understanding what data is telling you, how variable the data is, or what is the trend or evolution the data is talking about. And based on that, you would design your approaches in terms of using that data for a specific business purpose so that your models are much more accurate in giving the expected performance and moving ahead. And with that, the standardization and harmonization is another key thing that you really need to look on, because if the data is too much unstructured, you will really waste a lot of time around that and then it will not really result into a valuable outcome around this time. So that could be another challenge that the industry is really facing on it.
Yeah, smart biotech scientists, this is an important one. You need to understand the data. You need to gain process understanding. It's so important. And we shouldn't fully rely on the technology. And what I'm hearing, you just reminded me, Abhijit, of a former boss who said garbage in, garbage out. And this is something I feel that nowadays with these technologies, we tend to forget. But if the data is not good, the model will not be good either. It's very important that we create the right data sets and that we understand what we're doing.
Exactly, David. I think we are fully aligned on this.
Hey, smart biotech scientists. I hope you've gotten as much value out of this conversation with Abhijit Sadvikar as I have. I hope we have convinced you that digital transformation can change the way we run bioprocesses. In the second part of our interview, we are going to zoom into the use of process analytical technologies. We're going to look at what kind of tools you could use, and then we're going to make it very practical, and Abhijit is going to break it down in very simple steps how you can start using PAT. This episode will drop on Thursday, so stay tuned, and I see you in part two of our conversation. All right, smart scientists, that's all for today on the Smart Biotech Scientist podcast. Thank you for tuning in and joining us on your journey to bioprocess mastery. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. By doing so, we can empower more scientists like you. For additional bioprocessing tips, visit us at smartbiotechscientist.com. Stay tuned for more inspiring biotech insights in our next episode. Until then, let's continue to smarten up biotech.